To order the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Public Safety. Colleagues, today is April 8th. We are convened for the purpose of public hearing on House Bill 5032, the budget bill of the Oregon Military Department. We are in phase two, I believe. So, Linda, would you like to tee it up for us?
We are indeed in phase two. All of the agencies that would come before this committee have been before this committee at least once. I have posted a memo on OLAS called Phase Two Issues Summary. And I'd like to go over some of that with you so that you'll know what to expect to see as agencies come back to visit. We're asking that they review the policy option packages that were in the governor's budget, that they list policy measures that are needed to support the policy packages, as well as measures of importance that have popped up during the session, to brief you on new information that requires budget attention, because they start the budget process in February of 2014, and now here we are. So new things do happen and issues pop up. To outline any technical adjustments that they need. Usually it's something like carrying over some limitation because all the money didn't get spent this biennium or something like that. So they'll have technical adjustments, some of them, to discuss, and to also review reduction options. And I put agency 10% reduction options, which they're certainly free to do, but this is about the governor's budget, so they can report on the reductions that the governor made in their budgets. You'll also be hearing issues unique to specific agencies, such as the development of the AG rate that was in agency request, and then the impact of the April 2015 updated prison and community corrections population forecast on the Department of Corrections mandated caseload budget. As you know, you had your first work session yesterday for the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disabilities, so they did not come back for a phase two. District attorneys also will not come back for a phase two. That will have a work session later. And then finally, some other things that are coming up in phase two is a report Monday on House Bill 3194, primarily from district attorneys, several of them, and those materials are now posted on OLIS, and there's a good deal of it. So you might want to take a look in advance, and then the Criminal Justice Commission will kick off that report on Monday. There will be a report on specialty courts from the Oregon Judicial Department and CJC on April 22nd. The film Mothering Inside about the Family Preservation Project at Coffee Creek will be before you on April 23rd. And then on April 27th, you'll hear a two-part report, one on county courthouse capital construction requests and the other on local court revenue. So that's all I know to tell you about phase two at this time. So, military, you ready to go?
And is anybody else having difficulty getting internet access, or is it my laptop?
I had a fight to get in.
You had to fight to get in?
Yeah, kind of got there, but it's tough.
Huh.
All this is running slow today. We had trouble this morning, too.
I'm not even seeing the connection. Maybe if I restart it.
I had to go back to committees and drop down to public safety. I'm telling you, I can't run my iPhone, okay? What I did was I went down to committees, went back to public safety, went through the whole thing to the calendar, today's calendar, and came up with this.
All right. Okay. But everybody else is at least getting some internet connectivity.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll just reboot. Welcome back, Colonel.
All right. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Shields, Co-Chair Williamson.
Krieger's not.
Yeah, Krieger's having problems.
Mine's just as good today as it's ever been.
And members of the committee, I'm Dave Stuckey, the Deputy Director for the Oregon Military Department. Happy to be here on our, I think, the first phase two for this committee. I very, very, very much hope that you remember us at the very end when you start doling out some of the money, that we certainly have a couple of needs that we wanted to highlight. And so that's our plan today, is to cover the governor's recommended budgets, our policy option packages, and then we do have some new enhancements, and we have some new things that did pop up. So that's basically our outline here for today. So our format here is to start with our program areas. We'll shade in yellow what we're going to cover next, and then if it's colored red, then it's a policy option package that we wanted to address. And so our first is the operations program. And so here's just the general summary of what we have across the operations program, $8.3 million in general fund, and then our other fund and federal funds as listed, and for a total of 406 positions within the operations program. We're going to cover each one of those policy option packages in detail here. And the first one we would like to cover is policy option package 201. This is the firefighter money. We discussed this in our phase one. This is where we needed additional funding for firefighters, both at Kingsley as well as Portland Air National Guard Base. The structure, just as a quick refresher, this is a master cooperative agreement. There's a federal match to this. What's occurred here across the nation is that some of the negotiations, bargaining with the unions has created a higher pay salary than the federal government is willing to pay. And so what they did is they capped it out at the GSA rates. And so anything above the GSA rate, basically National Guard Bureau is saying this is a state responsibility. And so what we're asking for is $1.4 million. This will give us the full capacity of what we need both at Portland Air National Guard Base as well as Kingsley. OMD did receive $734 in general fund in February 2014 to kind of get us through this current biennium. This package has been one of our number one priorities. We need that firefighters on the ground in order to make certain that the jets get up in the air. Each position, and the struggle with this is that it's an 80-20 in one place and then 85-15 in another. Each one needs a general fund match, and so it's not one of those things where we can reduce it, reduce the general fund, and then we wind up with an appropriate amount of firefighters to manage the process. We need the general fund match for each one of the firefighters as they're out there operating. The impacts here is the potential closure of the bases. Reminder: Kingsley is the only F-15 pilot training facility in the entire nation. And then Kingsley supports, or correction, Portland supports this northwest corner of the nation. And so from a standpoint of the strategic importance of what we have, we're very, very proud of this, but it's also very critical that the Oregon National Guard and the state of Oregon help support the mission of the Air National Guard in this state. Policy Option Package 202, this is eight permanent positions that we're asking for. They're limited duration. Brief little background, we have a total of 26. We lost eight of them 5 years ago when they were swept in the 2011-13 budget, and then three more were lost in 2010. So what we're asking for is these eight positions be restored from limited duration to permanent. For $360,000 in general fund, we'll be able to get $1.4 million in the federal dollars. It's a match. And this, again, is all at Portland Air Base. And these positions, these eight positions, are all the maintenance specialists. Two of them are work on the aviation fuel tank farm. One's an electrician. Two are energy technicians that help work on the HVAC systems. We have a ground maintenance worker and transportation worker. We have 73 buildings, 250 acres at Portland Air National Guard Base. And so it takes a great deal of effort to maintain that operation for a 24/7 operation to support this corner of the nation.
Can I ask you a question about that? Is it a one-to-one match?
Portland is 80-20. 80% federal, 20% state.
Wow. For that policy option package?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, while we're asking questions. Yes. Colonel, but back on policy package 201, you're asking 1.4 million from general funds. That's the 20% or the 15%. So the federal, is there a federal match on that too?
There is a federal match.
But that's for the general fund.
Yes, Co-Chair Shields and Senator Representative Wisnett. What we have right here is the general fund match on Portland is going to be 411.
That's what I just learned.
It's tomorrow.
And then at Kingsley is 978.
So follow up, Mr. Chip. So we're going to get $8 million from the feds for that somewhere. Is that correct, Colonel?
What's the total?
Co-Chair Shields, Representative Wisnett, that is the total of what's of the
We have to prove the total general fund.
Yeah, out of total that, general fund to prove down, okay, for the okay remainder.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And I just heard a very important analysis of people who are good at math and not good at math. There are three kinds of people in the world, those that are good in math and those that aren't.
I hope you don't teach your kids math.
Oh, my goodness.
Moving on with this financial discussion.
Are we talking about it again?
Policy option package 202, we just briefly, we covered that already in regards to the eight permanent positions. Slide. Policy option package 203 is basically reestablishing 23 limited duration positions. This is all this we're asking for here is federal fund limitation. This is going to be all federal dollars. OMD has been the caretaker of about 18,000 acres since July of 2012 on behalf of the Department of Defense and that base realignment. We're currently in the process of negotiating a long-term lease for this, which will result in about 7,500 acres. And then when that does take effect, it will be all federal dollars that winds up maintaining that. But Umatilla is a key component to our training strategy, and you'll see that later in capital construction where we're trying to replicate some training actions out at Umatilla as proper. And so it's basically just limitation on this package. On package 90, this just reflects a 10% reduction. We had a couple of different items that we could shift some payroll around. One of them was our environmental chief, just making it 100% federal. And then on the second one, it is just removing some of the supplies and services out of the administration program. And so these were just some cuts that we proposed, and the governor's recommended budget chose to elected to take those.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Winters,
just a quick question to ask, because I'm looking at the option packages, and you know I'm going to ask if the capital construction stuff and the youth challenge.
Co-chairs, Senator Winters, yes.
Never miss a beat.
I don't miss a beat.
Yes, ma'am. We will be talking capital construction, and we are looking for a favorable recommendation from this committee into the capital construction. I'd like to transition here. Ms. Gilbert mentioned right up front that there are some new possibilities that occurred, and so this is one of those that I'd like to discuss with this committee. Since we produced the agency request budget and then the governor's requested governor's recommended budget, there's some new things that have come to light within our armories. We have 12 indoor firing ranges at these facilities across the state. And what we have determined through the process of getting assessment from the industrial hygiene, NGB industrial hygiene, is that we have some problems. Some of these problems that we were able to fix internally, some of them, at least one of them, as of this date, we're not able to. So you'll note that on the far left are the armories. The very bottom four are the ones that we wanted to keep. But what we wound up doing here is we'll talk Forest Grove here at length on the next slide, but that's going to be our biggest problem. There's some that we are able to fix from the NGB inspections, and then we're going to do some minor cleanup both at Cleaver, McMinnville, Roseburg we'll do as a part of our Armory Service Life Extension Program or remodel, and then we found that there was no problem at the Anderson Readiness Center. The Forest Grove Armory, we have a problem. Next slide. Our problem is that the lead problem with that indoor firing range, there are some design issues within the armory. The ventilation system was able to maintain or hold on to that lead, and we basically have a $1.8 million cleanup lead abatement issue at Forest Grove. Part of that is we need to repair our fire sprinkler system for $350,000. That was already pre-identified. We just can't get any permits out of the city to fix the lead abatement problem without fixing the fire sprinkler system. So the short answer here is that we can match it with $940,000 on the federal side, but what we are asking for, what we're here in front of you today is to ask for an additional $940,000 in general fund to reopen the Forest Grove Armory. The Forest Grove Armory is a is a two-unit armory. Roughly 200 soldiers are in it. We anticipated, on a drill basis, we anticipated it getting a little bit bigger with a structure change in October, and that we would be adding more people to it. But that entire unit, we lifted it, and they're now drilling. The full-time staff is permanently or is temporarily at Jackson Armory at the Portland Air National Guard base. And the part-time soldiers that go to drill also go out to Jackson Armory. We have tested our full-time staff up there. They're all within normal ranges on the lead side, so there's no issue there with our staff. But we have a problem on trying to clean up this armory and reopen it. It is also one of our more important earning armories from a standpoint of rentals, and so. I think it's our third highest rental revenue armory, and right now that's all shut down. So the armory is temporarily suspended from duty from any type of actions right now.
Let me ask a question, then I'll get to you, Colonel. Is those events? Are children allowed at these events? And is there potential that children have been exposed to high lead levels in the last year or two that we didn't know about?
On a temporary basis, if there is a armory, Co-Chair Shields, if there's a temporary basis where there's a small rental for a couple of hours, we believe the effects are minimal. We actually, once we recognized that there was an issue at Forest Grove Armory, we asked for one significant rental that was going to have children there. We had to move it. We couldn't continue that once we had them there. And so... The members that have been in there, some of the full-time staff that have been in there for months and years, when they were tested, they're in normal range.
Okay. And could this problem also be kind of a little bit below the radar at some of the others? And I mean, I'm just wondering if we're having a big foster kid gala at armories around the state where lead could be an issue, even if it's not at the toxic level of this. Should we be worried about that, or help me get to not being worried about it?
Yeah. Co-Chair Shields, we're worried about the lead condition of all 12 of these armories and the status of those. And so from the standpoint of what we've done, we've tested we've not tested every single member that has been assigned to that unit. I was assigned to the Forest Grove Armory back in the 80s and 90s.
Well, there you go.
I have not been tested yet.
Might explain.
Sorry.
Sorry, Colonel.
However, from the standpoint of our ranges, as I stated, some of these just came in within normal range. We just simply didn't have a problem. The Anderson Readiness Center, very highly used armory, and it is also rented, and we have lots of children there in all our military events, and we found very, very little in our own assessment. No abatement was needed whatsoever.
Okay. Senator Winters.
A question about the centers. Some of them, their ages are different than others. And I don't know, Forest Grove is probably older than Anderson.
Yeah, Co-Chair Shields, Senator Winters, that is correct. It is older. It also had some design issues. The outtake of the ventilation system was close to the roll-up. Most armories have a big, huge garage door roll-up. And so that was potentially blowing it in. The ventilation systems themselves, you can't clean them like our houses, your house. You can't just go in there and clean the ductwork now. The ductwork needs to be replaced.
See, I wouldn't expect Anderson to have problems because it's not that old.
It isn't.
But my question is, you talked about revenue. Can you provide us what is the revenue for the facilities that they're able to generate? The Forest Grove, Anderson, and then also because I notice it isn't on here, and maybe because it's not a firing indoor firing range, but the armory out at the fairgrounds, and we need to talk offline about it anyway.
That's 17th not a, Street Armory,
the one on 17th.
Yeah, Co-Chair Shields, Senator Winters, we could be happy to provide that information just for Forest Grove Armory itself. First part of your question, the rental revenue is approximately $3,500 a month.
Yeah, it would be nice to have that. You can come back and give that all of them.
Absolutely.
Because they all rent and what have you. It would be nice to
Absolutely.
See what the income is.
And the second part of your question, there is no armory. There is no firing range out at the 17th Street
There is
armory.
No firing range, but we've got an armory there.
We have an armory.
We have a place that's being rented out for events.
Yes. No armors. No rangers.
So to be clear, this is kind of a new issue outside of the POPs because you didn't have time to get it to the governor's budget.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. All right, we got to figure out a way to do that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Colonel Stuckey, is this the Guard Bureau or the military doing the survey, or is this standard? Is it a national standard of contamination, or is it a local Oregon contamination, Department of State, Public Health? Who's doing the survey, and what measurements are they using? It's national.
Co-chairs, Representative Wisnett. We got two. This is a national standard right here. This IH standard is by National Guard Bureau across the nation. And then this is our own assessment. And what we chose to do is we saw these surveys coming in, and then we decided that we were going to also do a validation survey to make certain that that the assessment was absolutely correct, and they've been spot on. And this is a contracted service that we have through within the state of Oregon.
Thank you. Follow up, Mr. Chair, real quick.
Follow up.
So this is a national problem at other Guard facilities, other ranges.
Co-chairs, Representative Wisnett, yes, it is. The indoor firing ranges is something that eventually is going away. The National Guard Bureau has recognized that these ranges have become somewhat problematic. However, there's really been no solution other than a state solution to try and repurpose some of that space. We were still using these things because we are not, Oregon is not a fort. It does not have Fort Lewis next to it where you can run onto the range and shoot a whole bunch of, and have all kinds of ranges to choose from. We have very few ranges, and so we used those ranges internally to help maintain the qualification standards for our soldiers across the state.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Our next program area that I would like to discuss is the Office of Emergency Management. And basic summary is $2 million in general fund. This 89 and other fund is actually the 911 funds, expected revenue, as well as what's on hand. It is the carryover from the 13-15 to the 15-17. And then the federal fund limitation, that may surprise you, that's just basically anticipation of a potential disaster. So that's in case we get a big, large federal presidential declaration, and we need to now move. We, all of us, need to move a whole bunch of money back through our state in order to help the locals. Generally speaking, our presidential declarations are not that large. Our last one, I think, was about $8 million. So first policy option, first package 301 in the governor's recommended budget is $500,000 from the other funds or the 911 funds. And this is to change out the existing frame relay network into an IP network. And so we had this discussion during the phase one process. This is where DAS ETS is gonna help provide that service in order to create a digital backbone. This is a step towards the next generation process, but this certainly isn't going to get us to next generation. This is just going to give us the change out an old aging analog system into a digital system. Next package is the supplies and services. We, as a part of our agency request budget, we provided a 10% cut plan. And in that plan, we called for S&S or supplies and services and OEM to be reduced by $87,000. No large effect. Community support. This summary basically provides in the governor's recommended budget is for next slide, please. Is for Starbase and the Youth Challenge, and it's for general fund of roughly $197,000. And the source of the other funds is mainly the average daily membership from the Oregon Department of Revenue. That's a pass through from Ben Lapine District into the Youth Challenge program.
Slide,
Mr. Chair.
Back. Yes. Do you get a full
payment on your students from Lapine? Is it a perfect pass through, or do they have some holdback on you?
They hold back.
Co-chairs, Senator Bates, they keep 20%.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, These sex changes are difficult for me. I'm sorry. It happens so fast. What's the rationale for the 20% holdback?
If I could, I'd like to bring forward our Youth Challenge Program Coordinator, Dan Radabaugh. Introduce yourself.
Coach Herb Williamson, members of the committee, I'm Dan Radabaugh, Youth Challenge Director. To answer your question, Senator Bates, it's for administrative fees, reporting our population of cadets to the Department of Education.
Follow up? Mm-hmm. 20%?
20%.
20%? I want me to cut that down to 2%. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Is there something else here? That sounds outrageous. If it's outrageous, I'm probably missing something.
Well, our charter is only, I think, 5% that they take off. Uh-huh. So I'm
Are they supplying 20? Food or transportation or?
No.
No. But according to the ORS, I don't know the exact one for alternative high schools, 20% is the number that is authorized for them to take.
Madam Chair, we put that in place for some types of schools we were a little concerned about. They need some good oversight. Some of them were more virtual schools, I believe. This is mm-hmm. not the case here.
Right.
We may want to consider changing that. Thank you. I don't know what the real fee would be for passing through the money, but I wouldn't think it'd be more than 2 or 3%.
Well, if we were consistent in our policy as it relates to charter schools, which is not a part of the alternative schools, that rate when we passed that legislation was 5%. You know, for administrative fees and what have you. So there's a huge disparity in this. And since we're actually trying to encourage the expansion and serving more youth at Youth Challenge, I would think that we should have a serious conversation about it.
Well, Linda is going to look into it mm-hmm. and report back. And we can see if we need to make a policy change.
Yeah, because what's interesting, these are not students that, Lapine, they're not losing dollars on this particular issue because most of these students do not come from Lapine.
Yeah. Linda, okay. Be sure that I'm involved in the information.
Yes, that's my first.
Since I'm in the between two here.
And you're going to get some of your money.
They're getting the boom. The
OYA at that. It seems high to me, Senator Bates, I would agree.
And Madam Chair and members of the committee, I do want to say that we do have a good working relationship with them. They are good partners to have.
I bet you would like to keep it.
Yes, and if there are any IEP needs, individual educational plans, they are responsible for providing those resources to take care of those special needs students.
Thank you.
Things could have changed. That may be now too high, or I don't know what the conditions, but I think it's good to look at. Appreciate you.
I'd like to get back on capital improvements is our next one, debt service and construction projects. But the first one, capital improvements, what we have here, these are projects for less than $1 million. Some examples, this is all basically federal fund limitation. Examples of what we'd be using this for would be roof replacement at Camp Rileo, which is a training post out at between Astoria and Seaside, energy upgrades at Camp Withicum, and then biomass heat installation in Central Oregon. So these are the types of things. It's limitation for use of federal dollars.
Madam Chair, I think so. I'm not sure where we are as far as does this committee. You know, we're now getting the Youth Challenge. That's a big buy, and I support it. I think it's going to be good for those children. And like you say, actually, when you get the school money, it's not that much additional money we're asking to do. But there's going to be some capital construction for that too, right, Colonel?
Co-Chair Williamson, Representative Wisnant, it is. What I just previously briefed that was all less than $1 million.
Yeah.
And happily, I'd like to report that the Youth Challenge is actually can be over $1 million. So that will be in the capital construction slide here coming up in the next couple.
Thank you.
Next one is debt service. In this one, but what we're basically asking for is general fund debt service, another fund limitation in 498. And these are for the two projects that we outlined previously, and we'll talk about more in capital construction, and that's for Umatilla, sale of RTI and putting it out in Umatilla, and then the Youth Challenge program itself. And then package 499 is just a little bit more detail where we're talking about the Regional Training Institute. We've had a building and a training program that taught leadership as well as specific soldier skills out at Monmouth at Western Oregon for some time now. We have a very nice building out there, and what we're looking at doing is through through bonds, $6.5 million in bonds, as well as $5 million coming from Oregon University system. That $11.5 million then can be put into Umatilla, and we can change or improve some of the facilities out there and replicate what's occurring at Western Oregon out at Umatilla.
And that's my district, and I said, fine, you can do that. You can
Co-chair Williams and Senator Winters. I don't recall you saying that, but I'll take that right
I'm
now.
I'm okay.
And Senator Winters, it is a great opportunity with
yes,
some of
is.
That training facility out there that since the Army left the depot for us to replicate. We don't have a Fort Lewis. We don't have those Army posts that a lot of states have that we can put soldiers and airmen out there and train.
My trade-off is the youth challenge.
Yes, ma'am. And as a part of package 499, I'd like to talk about the Youth Challenge Program. And if we can get a favorable recommendation out of this sub for 4.9 in Q bonds, that would provide an additional 84 seats, cadet positions, as well as an increase in the female capacity, and then it'll also improve some of our other facilities. It's a very, very important project to us, and we very much appreciate the support that this committee has given it in our briefings.
Yeah, you commented on it, Colonel, but I would put that on your slide too, that the 84 is going to be a significant number of females, right? I think that's a good selling point.
That is correct. And Co-Chair Williamson, Representative Wisnett, Senator Winters, the other component we have to get is additional and National Guard Bureau money to help support the staff that it needs to operate that. That is something that we have engaged on. We're going to continue to engage on. General Hokanson is focused on that as well to make certain that once you build it, they will come. And that's really what we're hoping.
But if I can
follow
up.
For the record, that's been my push.
Yeah.
That was my goal after visiting to make certain that we could add more females. Three years ago, whenever we did the tour, and in talking to staff and others, when I raised the question, it was because of lack of capacity and construction. So it's my hope that we won't run into any future obstacles with respect to getting more females at the Youth Challenge.
But for Linda and the staff, as this thing goes through the different capital construction committees, let's be sure that we identify. I think that's a significant thing, that it's for more female students. That's a key thing. It's not if we're using your slide or data and putting that together, I think it's important to be sure the committees that are looking at this know that's for increasing our female population and have this opportunity.
We'll take that guidance.
Wise
we'll follow
advice.
Through.
This is already given.
Right. Yes, sir.
Wise advice.
Thank you.
The last thing in package 499 that I would like to brief is we're looking for some pre-design planning money limitation. This is for four projects in Boardman, where we're trying to put a new machine gun range out at Boardman. Again, it goes back to the range and the qualification that we need to occur, and then some Army service life extension programs or remodels, both at McMinnville, Jackson Armory, and then Grants Pass Armories. And so we just need some design and planning limitation. Last program I'd like to brief on is the administration program. Our summary. Almost $5 million in general fund, $2 million in other funds, for a total of $7 million. Our capital construction, and this is where, since the administration didn't have any packages, what I'd like to do is another transition here. Note the new Starburst. We discussed this in our phase one, and what we're seeking here is is a favorable recommendation to the Capital Construction Sub for a Joint Forces Headquarters building. A reminder, we have $18.5 million from the federal government. What we're looking for is bonding authority $6.7 million in order to match that. If we do that, then we're able to build an additional building, an essential building, and in building geek talk, that's a more seismically capable building right behind the Anderson Readiness Center. So that will turn in more into a campus-like setting with the Anderson Readiness Center plus the command group of the military department that we're able to help respond to and disasters of any kind. And so our hope and our desire here is that we get that added back in. We had a minor glitch in recognizing this property as a floodplain type of property. We had to go back and prove those results to Department of Administrative Services. We did that satisfactorily, and we believe that this property is building suitable, and what we're looking for is some bonding authority.
Madam Chair,
Senator Winters,
is there still plans to have a DOJ? I'm talking about one of their units there as under lease still.
Co-Chair Williamson, Senator Winters, I believe there were some old discussions about that. I understood that the timeline for DOJ and the Fusion Center to move out, if that's what you're referencing,
that's
to move
I'm
out of that building,
okay.
was different than our timeline. I think they were looking for something, and I don't know if they were sooner or later than ours. And so I don't know exactly where that is. We can certainly follow up and give you some of that information.
Because when I looked at the design, the plan design, they were a part of it.
Yes, that is correct. We can certainly go back and make certain that we address that.
Thank you.
So here's the timeline for our critical path for the Joint Forces Headquarters building, and your legislative fiscal staff asked us what would you need to do to prove this, and so. Really what I'd like to do is highlight the first bullet. Before the federal fiscal year 1 October of 2015 begins, we need to demonstrate or prove to the National Guard Bureau that we have the state support for the bonds to match for the 18.5. And then the second item that I'd like to address here is receiving these Q bonds somewhere around April 1st, because that's when construction is going to begin. And there's some things that we're going to need to do with state money as opposed to federal money right off the get-go in terms of permitting and some other things that just have to be covered by the state dollars themselves. And so that's kind of the path that we're looking at if we were to get that recommendation from you for an add to the capital construction bill. I'd like to cover a couple of other capital construction projects. What we're looking for here is some federal dollar limitation. This is really nothing new. First is the Medford ASLIP. We had Q-bond approval in the 13-15 session, and so what we're looking for is some additional federal dollars limitation to augment our Medford Armory remodel of a $1.9 million. And then on the second one, the Baker City capital construction, we're asking for $750K in federal fund limitation to augment the 1.2. This is basically a vehicle compound. Baker City is a heavy unit, tank unit, and so we have to have a very specific type of parking pad and parking structures for that facility, and it also covers some land swaps between the old armory and the new armory, between the city of Baker City proper as well as what we're looking to try and get outside our new armory. And so we're looking for some federal fund limitation in that regard also. So in summary, and we're almost done, is basically we've covered a couple of the pops up front, but this slide basically demonstrates some of the new adds that we had. We've talked about the Forest Grove Armory. I know there's a big cost here where we need $940K in general funds. We've looked at a couple of different ways to try and figure out how to make this work, something other than just straight general funds, and quite frankly, we just don't see that avenue. But the positive side is that we can match half of that project with federal dollars. Joint Force Headquarters, we've discussed it at length, and if we get 6.7 in Q bonds and the debt service to go with it, that'll net us $18.5 million on the federal side. And then the two ACLIP programs are projects in Medford and Baker City. And so that basically summarizes our ask slide. And I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Well, Colonel, we don't often respond kindly to last-minute dollar requests, but I think I certainly feel like we got to do it. So we'll roll up our sleeves and sharpen our pencils and try to figure out a way to get that done. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quick, Colonel, what's the square footage of the Joint Headquarters, Joint Force Headquarters, roughly?
Co-chairs, Representative Wisnett, is roughly 50,000 square feet.
Thank you.
So I walked in late. Are we
50,000
finished?
Okay.
50,
yeah, I just wanted to make sure we had on the record that we had asked that to look at the revenue stream from the Forest Grove Armory.
Yeah.
And I just make sure it was official.
And all armories.
I mean, not just the Forest Grove, but all armories.
We would be happy to do that.
Yeah.
We know that there's a commitment, and there has been a long-term commitment by us, asked by you to help augment our budgets with rental revenue. And we take that very seriously in order to do that, and we'd be happy to show you those results.
Clint, so, we need to know what the cost is of having it offline as well. So mm-hmm. that
$3,500 a month, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically. And go ahead. Oh, and I think while we want you to be aggressive in bringing in new money, we certainly don't want to endanger children with lead toxicity, for sure.
Understood.
Senator Winters.
And you were not here when we had the discussion with respect to the what percentage was held back by Ben and Lapine, and that issue was raised by Senator Bates. And so Ms. Gilbert's going to go and check those. Is there 20% when our others?
Back 20%.
About 20% when our charters are 5. So we're going to look and see why that's so high.
Okay. All right. Good. Anything else for the good of the order? Ms. Gilbert, what's up next in coming days?
What is up next? you'll have phase two tomorrow on the Border Patrol and post-prison supervision, as well as the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Right. Thank you very much, Colonel.
Thank
and staff.
You. Thank you
this
much.
Meeting is adjourned.
Senator, we have a scheduling problem tomorrow.
Thank you very
this
much.
Meeting is adjourned.
Senator.